بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the prophets and his household and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. On this day of the 16th of Dhul Hijjah, corresponding to the 26th, I believe, of January 2005, we continue the discussion on the means of protection against lowly desires as presented by Imam Ibn Qayyim, and this is part 3. He said, Rahimahullah, there isn't a day that passes except the desires and the mind find fight within its follower. Meaning the mind and the desires are in confrontation. Whoever of them overpowers its master, it will expel the other and take full control, and the decision will be its. Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the companions. And Abu Darda, his name is Uwaymir bin Zayd bin Qais. He was the judge of Damascus and one of the companions. The master of Quranic recitation in Damascus before and during the reign of Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him. He is known as the Hakim, the wise man of this ummah. He was from the few amongst the companions who collected the noble Quran. He reported 197 hadiths, and it is reported that he died in the year 32 after Hijrah, corresponding to 652. Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, said, quote, when a man wakes up, both his hawa, his desire, and deeds meet. If his deeds are in accordance with his desire, then his day is an evil one. And if his desire is pursuant to his deeds, then his deed is a good one. End of quote. 30th point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the wrong and the following of lowly desire associates of each other, and has made the right and the opposition of lowly desire as associates. As some of the righteous predecessors, as Salaf al-Salih, said, quote, if two affairs were dubious to you and you don't know which one is right, then oppose the one close to your desire, for it is more likely that error is committed when the desires, or when the desire is being pursued. 31. Al-hawa, lowly desire, is a disease, and its remedy is in opposing it. Some learned men said, quote, if you wish, I will inform you of your illness, and if you wish, I will tell you of your remedy. Your disease is your desires, and your treatment is to abandon and oppose it. Bishr al-Hafi, rahimahullah, said, quote, all kinds of affliction are manifested in your desires, and the complete healing is in your opposition of it. End of quote. 32 point. The jihad, the strive against the desires, if it is not more important than the jihad against the kafirs, certainly it is not less important. A man told Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, quote, he called him by his nickname Abu Sa'id. He said, O Abu Sa'id, what kind of jihad is the best? He said, it is the jihad of your desires. I heard my sheikh saying, Now when he says, I heard my sheikh saying, meaning Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, I heard my sheikh saying, quote, the jihad against oneself and against the hawa constitutes the basis for the jihad against the kuffar and the hypocrites, because one is unable to make jihad against them until he makes jihad against himself and his desires first, so that he can go out to confront them. End of quote. 33. Al-hawa is disorder and confusion of the intellect, and opposing it is a guarding and protection. It is feared for the one who became excessive in this disorder and retired himself from the means of protection, that his disease, mental sickness, may cause him to fall in a state of sarra. What is sarra? Sarra, this is a well-known state arising in some cases from mental disorder, whereby the person befalls to the ground in a state that resembles madness. Or rather, it is called sarra. I'm sorry, sarra in Arabic. Sarra is something else. This is called sarra. So I repeat, sarra is a well-known state, yes, arising in some cases from mental disorder, whereby the person falls to the ground in a state that resembles madness. Abdul Malik ibn Quraib, he is a truthful Sunni who died in the 16th year of Hijrah. He, rahimahullah, said, quote, I passed by a Bedouin who was suffering from an intensive inflammation in his eyes, and his tears were shedding on his cheeks. I said, why don't you wipe off your eyes? He said, the doctor prevented me from doing this, and there is no good in him who, if urged to refrain from doing something wrong, does not abstain, and if he is being commanded to do something good, does not comply. I said then, would you like something? He said, yes, but I am in a state of himiyya, meaning, you know, protection, like a diet, quote unquote. The lusts of the people of hellfire overcame their himiyya, their diet, their protection, and thus they were destroyed. End of quote. 34. The pursuing of desires renders the doors of success closed by the slave and opens for him the doors of failure. So you see him often repeating the following statement, quote, had Allah bestowed his success, then it, meaning the affair, would have been as such and such, end of quote. While in fact, he barred himself from the ways of success by pursuing his desires. Al-Fudayl bin Iyad, rahimahullah. And who is Al-Fudayl bin Iyad? A renowned and trustworthy and an imam who devoted himself to the worship of Allah. Originally, he is from Khorasan, which is a province in northeast Iran. He became a resident of Mecca and died in the year 187 after Hijrah or earlier. Al-Fudayl bin Iyad said, quote, whoever has been overtaken by his desires and by the following of lusts, the sources of success will be severed from him. End of quote. One of the scholars said, he said that al-kufr, and here al-kufr includes disbelief, and al-kufr also means ingratitude, being ungrateful for Allah's favors. Al-kufr originates from four things: from anger, lust, hope, and fear. Then he added, I have seen two of them manifested. A man who got angry and then killed his mother, and another who fell in love and became a Christian. End of quote. 35. The one who stands by his desires, his intelligence and mental perception will become corrupt, because he acted unfaithfully towards Allah in his mind, and consequently Allah perverted it from him. This is the way he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deals with anyone who betrays him in any affair. He rendered it in a bad state for him. 36. The one who broadens for himself the scope of pursuing the desires will put it under restriction in his will be put under restriction in his grave and on the day of his return. The one who restrains it by opposing the desires brings ease upon it in his grave and on the day of his return. Allah pointed to this in his saying in Surah Al-Ihsan, in Surah Al-Insan, chapter 76, verse 12, when he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا, and their recompense shall be paradise and silken garments because they were patient. Since patience, which is holding oneself from pursuing the lowly desires, includes harshness and restrictions, accordingly Allah will recompense them with the smoothness of silk and wideness of the Jannah of Paradise. Abu Sulaiman al-Darani rahimahullah ta'ala was born around 140, corresponding to 758. He was a great imam and a great zahid of his times. He related hadith from Sufyan al-Thawri and others. Commented on this verse by saying, Allah shall recompense them for taking patience against lusts. I will repeat. Allah shall recompense them for taking patience against lusts. 37. The following of al-hawa, lowly desires, throws down the slave, preventing him to stand up and walk with those saved on the day of resurrection, just like when his heart fell in a state of sara' in this life, which kept him from their company. Muhammad bin Abil Ward who died in the year 263 after Hijrah, corresponding to 847, said, quote, there is one of Allah's days when no one who pursues his desires shall be saved of its evil. The slowest in his ability to stand up amongst those drawn down or thrown down on the day of resurrection is the one who's thrown in a state of sara' by his lusts. 38. The pursuing of lowly desires breaks up and weakens one's resolution, and opposing the desires solidifies and strengthens him. Resolution is the thing upon which one rides upon his journey to Allah and the last day. If that which is ridden became inactive, the traveler would almost be disabled to proceed in his journey. Yahya bin Mu'ath once was asked, who is most sound in resolution of men? He answered, the one who overcomes his lowly desires. End of quote. 39. The parable of the one who follows his own whim is like that who rides on a tough, strong, tempered Jamuh horse. Jamuh, a horse is called Jamuh when it overcomes its rider and runs away so as to be ungovernable by him. The parable of the one who follows his own whim is like that one who rides on a tough, strong-tempered Jamuh horse without a bridle, about to be thrown down by his horse during its run, or it would lead him to his death. A learned man said, quote, the most rapid means to ride onto al-Jamuh is the zuhd, respecting this life. And the meaning of zuhd is to abandon that which is allowable in this life, for or that which is not of a benefit to that which is beneficial in the hereafter. The most rapid means to ride onto al-Jannah is the zuhd, respecting this life, and the most rapid means to get onto the hellfire is the love of lust. And him who boards his desires, it will hastily take him to the valley of perdition. End of quote. Another said, the most endowed with honor of the scholars is the one who flees with his deen from this dunya, from this life, and who is hard to be led to follow the desires. Ata, a trustworthy and honorable tabi'i, successor to the companions, known for his worship and admonitions. He died in the year 94 after Hijrah, corresponding to 713 or after. He said, quote, "The one whose hawa, his desires, overtakes his rationale, causing him to become affected with grief and agitation because of lacking the strength to be patient, would be put to shame." End of quote. 40th, the tawheed and the following of lowly desires are two contrary matters, because al-hawa is an idol, and each slave has an idol in his heart, the magnitude of which depends upon his lowly desires. Rather, Allah sent his messengers to destroy the idols, to call for his worship alone, having no partners or associates. Nay, Allah's intent is not just to demolish the corporal images and leave the images embedded in the heart, but rather to destroy those in the heart first. Al-Hasan bin Ali al-Mutawi'i rahimahullah said, "The idol of each person is his hawa, his lowly desires. He who breaks it by the way of opposition deserves the title of honor." Just contemplate about the saying of Al-Khalil Ibrahim to his people, as Allah said, "Ma hadhihi at-tamathil allati antum laha aakifun," as in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:52. "What are these images to which you are devoted?" And you will certainly find it identical to those images which the heart likes and devotes itself to and worships it besides Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى, in Surah Al-Furqan 25:43-44, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, seen him who has taken his ilah, God, his own desire? أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ. Would you then be a wakil, a disposer of his affairs over him? Or do you think that the most of them hear or understand? إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They are only like cattle, nay, they are even further astray, or farther astray from the path. This is the idol of the heart. 41. Opposing al-hawa is the means to drive away diseases from the heart and from the body, and its following brings forth diseases to the heart and to the body as well. Heart diseases are all from following the lowly desires. If you search for the causes behind diseases of the body, you will find that most of it are because of preferring the desires over what should be abandoned. 42. The origin for the enmity, evil and envy that occurs between people is from following al-hawa. The one who opposes his lowly desires relieves his heart, body and limbs, putting himself to ease, and thus relieves others. Abu Bakr al-Warraq, he died in the year 396 after Hijrah, corresponding to 1006, said, quote, "When the hawa, the lowly desire, prevails, the heart turns dark. And when it does so, the breast becomes straightened, and when that happens, the moral character deteriorates, and consequently, people will hate him, and he will hate them. Then think of the evil, enmity, neglect of rights, etc., that arise from this mutual hatred." End of quote. 43. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in man an intellect and a desire. Whichever of the two becomes manifest, the other will hide. as Abu Ali al-Thaqafi rahimahullah said, he died in the year 328 corresponding to 940. He said, whoever is overcome by his lowly desire, his intellect will be hidden from him. So look at the end of him whose intellect is masked from him and became overpowered by something else. End of quote. Ali bin Sahl rahimahullah, who died in the year 491 after Hijrah, corresponding to 1098, said, quote, the intellect and the desires are in conflict. Success is the associate of the intellect, and defeat is the associate of desires. The self stands between both. Whichever of the two prevails, the self will side with it. End of quote. 44. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the heart the king of the limbs and the place of the origination of knowledge, love, and ubudiyyah and slavery of him. He tested with two kinds of authority, two armies, two aids, and two sets of preparations. The truth, zuhd, and guidance is one authority. Its aids are the angels, and its army is truthfulness and sincerity, and its preparation is in avoiding the lowly desires. The other authority is falsehood. Its aids are the shaitan, the devil, and its troops, and the preparation is the following of lowly desires. The self stands between the two armies. The army of falsehood will have access to the heart only from its direction and frontier breaches, for it pervades the heart and aligns itself with its enemy against it, against the heart, and thus the calamity will overtake it. It is the self, therefore, that offers its enemy from its own preparations and opens for him the gate of the city, and thus he enters and takes full control, and the heart takes the defeat. 45. The worst of enemies to man is his shaitan and his lowly desires, and the best friend he has is his intellect and his associate angel who gives and advises him. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ وُكِّلَ بِهِ قَرِينُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ قَالُوا وَإِيَّاكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ وَإِيَّاي إِلَّا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَانَنِي عَلَيْهِ فَأَسْلَمْ فَلَا يَأْمُرُنِي إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. وفي رواية وَقَدْ وُكِّلَ بِهِ قَرِينُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَقَرِينُهُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. In the hadith reported by Muslim, there is none amongst you with whom there is none amongst you with whom is not a companion from amongst the jinn, from the devils. Then the companion said, Allah's messenger with you too? Thereupon he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, but Allah helps me against him. And as such he surrendered to Allah and Islam and commands me not except for good. And this is reported in Muslim, in another narration by Muslim and Ahmad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is none amongst you with whom there is not a companion from amongst the jinn, devils, and an attaché from amongst the angels. This companion from the angels may be different from those assigned by Allah to write the record of deeds of the children of Adam. Back to the point. The worst of enemies to man is his devil and his lowly desires, and the best friend he has is his intellect and his associate angel who gives him advice. If he follows his lowly desires, he gives his hand in surrender to his enemy, submitting himself as a captive to him, making him, the enemy, rejoice at his affliction and causing displeasure to his friends and supporters. These are precisely the difficult moments of a calamity, wretchedness, the manifested divine decree of an evil ending, and the malicious joy of enemies. And in fact, these are the moments of difficulty which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to seek refuge with Allah, as in the hadith reported by Abi Huraira. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتعوذ من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. قال سفيان الحديث ثلاث زدت أنا واحدة لا أدري أيتهن هي. أبو هريرة narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to seek refuge with Allah from the difficult moments of calamity and from being overtaken by wretchedness in the hereafter or destruction, and from being destined to an evil end, and from the malicious joy of enemies. And Sufyan bin Uyayna said, this narration contained the three items only, but I added one. I don't know which one that was. Each slave, 46 point, each slave has a beginning and an end. He whose start is the following of lowly desires shall end up in a state of disgrace, humiliation, bereavement and trials. What is being followed commensurate with the slave's degree of dependency upon his lowly desires. Rather, at the end, the followed turns to a suffering that agonizes him in his heart. As one poet put it, مآرب كانت في الشباب لأهلها عذابا فصارت في المشيب عذابا. Desires that were at the age of youthfulness sweet to those who wished them became a suffering at the mashib, at the old age. If you contemplate about the case of everyone who is in a bad and miserable state, you would find that it began with him embracing his lowly desires and giving it preference over his intellect. Anyone who begins by opposing his lowly desires and obeying the call of his rushd. What is rushd? Rushd means maturity of intellect, enabling the person to follow a right course of action and providing a good management of affairs. So anyone who begins by opposing his lowly desires and obeying the call of his rushd, his end will be that of honor, might, richness and high rank before Allah and before the people. Abu Ali al-Daqqaq, who died around 406 after Hijrah corresponding to 1016, said, quote, the one who controls his lust in his youthfulness, Allah will honor him when he is in his age of maturity. End of quote. And Al-Muhallab bin Abi Sufra, rahimahullah, is one of the trustworthy leaders and heroes who was knowledgeable about war plans and strategies. He reported hadith transmission himself from the companions. He said, when he was asked, how did you attain this status of yours? He said, through firm obedience and rebellion against lowly desires. End of quote. So these are the situations regarding the stand against lowly desires in the beginning and in the end of one's life in this world. With respect to the hereafter, however, Allah the Most High has made the Jannah, paradise, the end for him who opposed his lowly desires, and Hellfire the end for the one who followed his lowly desires. This is stated in the Quran, in Surah An-Nazi'at, in chapter 79, verses 37 to 39. قال الله تعالى, Allah said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then for him who tagha, transgressed all bounds in disbelief, oppression and evil deeds of disobedience to Allah, and preferred the life of this world by following his evil desires and lusts, verily his abode will be hellfire. And the opposite in the same chapter, but verses 40 to 41, Allah the Most High said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. But as for him who feared standing before his Rabb Allah and restrained himself from impure evil desires and lusts, verily Al-Jannah, paradise, will be his abode. 47. Lowly desires is a slavery to the heart, an iron chain around the neck, and a fetter to the leg. Al-Hawa, lowly desires, is a slavery to the heart, an iron chain around the neck, and a fetter to the leg. Its follower is a captive to everyone with a bad character. Thus whoever opposes it liberates himself from slavery and becomes free, and takes off the chain around the neck, and becomes in a state similar to that of a man belonging entirely to one master after belonging to many partners disputing one another. And if you think about it, the slavery of the heart to Allah is the true freedom, and what is called in our times so-called freedom is the enslavement of the heart to lusts and lowly desires. 48. Opposing the lowly desires puts the slave in the rank of the one whose oath Allah fulfills. The goals that he will accomplish for him, that Allah will accomplish for him, will be manifold, that which he was unable to attain as a result of neglecting his lowly desires. He is like the one who relinquished the ba'ra. What is the ba'ra? Is a piece of animal dung. This signifies what is low. He is like the one who relinquished a ba'ra and was given a pearl, signifying what is precious, as a compensation for it. Whatever he is able to gain from the way of following the lowly desire is incomparable with what he loses from present and future benefits and from good living. So try to comprehend the stretching forth of the hand of Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf as-Siddiq, in his eloquent and clear speech. Try to comprehend the stretching forth of the hand of Yusuf in expenditure, the unconstriction with his tongue, because he had an eloquent speech and clear search with the people. The establishment of his feet in power, and the rejoice that touched him after he came out of jail. Because, why all of this? Because he restrained himself from harmful, from the unlawful. 49. Opposing lowly desires entitles the honor in this world and in the hereafter, and self-esteem outwardly and inwardly. Following it, however, lowers the rank of the slave in this life and in the hereafter, and humiliates him outwardly and inwardly. When Allah gathers mankind in one place or on one place, on one plane, on the day of resurrection, an announcer will call, "This day the people of generosity will be distinguished from those who amassed wealth. Now let the pious stand." They will stand and walk toward the place of honor, while the followers of lowly desires bending their heads low before Allah in the mawqif. What is the mawqif? The standing before Allah on the day of resurrection, waiting his judgment. Amidst the heat of lowly desire, its sweat and its suffering, the others, the pious, will be in the shade of the arsh, of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you contemplate about the seven whom Allah will shade in his shade, or in the shade of his arsh, wherein there is no shade but his, you will find that they deserve that shade because of their opposition to lowly desires. And who are these seven? They are mentioned in the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluh, al-imamul adil, وشاب نشأ في عبادة ربه، ورجل قلبه معلق في المساجد، ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه، ورجل طلبته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله، ورجل تصدق أخفى حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه، ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. And the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah will shade to seven, will give shade to seven on the day when there will be no shade but His, on the day of resurrection. These seven persons are, first, a just ruler. Second, a youth who has been brought up in the worship of Allah, meaning he worships Allah sincerely from his childhood. Third, a man whose heart is attached to the mosques. He offers the five compulsory prayers in the mosques. Fourth, two persons who love each other only for Allah's sake, and they meet and part in Allah's cause only. Five, a man who refuses the call of a charming woman of noble birth for illegal sexual intercourse with her and says, I am afraid of Allah. Six, a man who gives charitable gifts so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given, meaning nobody knows how much he has given in charity. And seven, a person who remembers Allah in seclusion and his eyes become flooded with tears. If you contemplate about these seven, you will find that they deserve the shade because of their opposition to their lowly desires. Indeed, the imam having authority and power, the leader having authority and power, will not be able to establish justice except by opposing his lowly desires. And with respect to the youth who prefers the sincere worship of Allah over the urge of his youthfulness, had it not been for the opposition of his lowly desire, he would not be able to accomplish this state of worship. As to the person whose heart is attached to the mosques, the thing that drove him to this condition is the opposition of lowly desires, which invites him to the places of lusts. Concerning the person who gives charitable gifts secretly, so that his left hand does not know which right hand has given, had it not been for his subduing of his lowly desire, he would have not been able to attain this state. And the person who was invited by a charming woman of noble birth to give or to have sexual intercourse with her, feared Allah and opposed his lowly desire. As to the one who remembers Allah in seclusion and his eyes becomes flooded with tears for fearing him, the thing that made him reach this state is the opposition of the lowly desires. Consequently, they were saved from being affected by the intense heat of the Al-Mawqif, the day of gathering, on the day of resurrection, and the sweating therein. The people adhering to the lowly desires will experience the utmost degree of intense heat and sweating while they are still waiting to enter the prison of desires. Allah is the one to be petitioned to grant us protection from lowly desires of ourselves, which are inclined to evil, and that He makes our desires in accordance with what He loves and is acceptable to Him. He has power over all things, and He is the most worthy of answering our petition. This is the completion of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim's treatise on the ways and means of opposing the lowly desires. May Allah's mercy be upon him, and may Allah the Most High make them a benefit for us all. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.